Broadcasting from Baltimore, Maryland, this is 5x3 Radio, where strength is for everyone. I'm your host, Emily Sokolinski, owner of 5x3 Training, a strength and conditioning gym in Baltimore, along with my co-host, Rebecca Fishburn, founder of Cornerstone Strength Maryland. Each week, Rebecca and I will discuss the ins and outs of strength training, why there is a no one-size-fits-all approach, and why strength is so important in our daily lives. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now, on with the show. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to 5x3 Radio. Rebecca and I are here again, and we're so excited because we've been doing this like religiously now for about a couple of weeks. Like we get an actual podcast.
We've been consistent. We've done podcasts on consistency. Now we're finally podcasting consistently.
I was so excited. I'm like, oh my God, it's Thursday and it's 1 o'clock and we're podcasting again. And we did this last week too. And it's amazing how what happens when you do when you're consistent with your when you're consistent with your podcasting, you know, everything just kind of stays in your head and you know, you get the podcast out and the people who are, you know, asking, busting down the doors, where's the next 5x3 Radio podcast? You know, we have
that
one.
Yeah.
No, not really. And as Diego likes to keep telling me, oh, you're one listener. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I just want to say, anyway, no, we have more than one listener. Thank you, Diego. We have two at least. From what I know. So last podcast, we discussed tight, how to get tight. That was a pretty long one. We're hoping that this one's not going to be so long, but Rebecca and I have a lot to talk about. And we probably could have talked even more about what it meant to get tight. But that is an important part of training. So it needed to be kind of, you know, fleshed out, I think. I don't want to interrupt what my train of thought, but can you tell me quickly your story about the guy that you ran into at the gym who was like, hey, do you know this guy, Mark Rotto?
Rebecca? That was hilarious. Like, yeah. So at the commercial gym where I work, there's a lot of people there who are doing more bodybuilding stuff, doing machines, doing group fitness, whatever. There's a handful of people that are in there that are doing some serious barbell lifts. And this guy's one of them, and he's in there usually pretty early, like 6 a.m. or something. That's usually when I see him. So I time in between clients and I was just chatting with him and he was telling me about his elbow, like he had tendonitis, tennis elbow. And so then he's trying to tell me how he's going to approach this, how he's going to recover from it. And he's like, yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard of Mark Rotto. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to see him in April. He was like, what? He's trying to tell me about like the chin up protocol for fixing.
You're like, and you're going,
So he's like talking all through that. And I was like, yeah, I know him. I'm a starting strength coach. And he's like, what? Oh.
That's right. I've been under your nose for many, many months by now. Yeah. You're not aware. I'm just, you know.
Just goes to show you that people do not read your bio up on the wall in the gym.
Oh God, no, they don't read the bios and
read your bio, just walk right past.
People don't read in general. And this is a completely side note to any training, but I saw a great video of a professor. It was a professor. I think it's at a college and he's going in the lecture hall and he's playing music and it's all like very sad music, like music from the Titanic and Sarah McLachlan. And and these students are getting up, like this young woman gets up and she's walking up the stairs, like really, really sad. And she kind of fist bumps one of her friends and continues out the door. And it comes to pass that the syllabus he gave out, it said in the syllabus, you get extra credit for walking out of class to a sad song.
Aha. Uh-huh.
There were three.
Three sad songs.
Three students out of almost probably like maybe, you know, I don't know, 100 students in the lecture hall who actually walked out. And you see him with like his head in his hands, like, how many of you didn't read the syllabus? Wait, how many? So people don't read, you know, it's like the classic, you know, please read this till the end. And then and then it's like at the very end, it says, put your name on the paper or something like that. But you see people going through and doing all this kind of stuff, like making noises, like bark like a dog, you know, squawk like a chicken. And then
squawk like a chicken?
I don't know. I'm just making that up, but I'm just saying people don't read.
You're missing the point, Rebecca. It doesn't matter that chickens
don't squat. People don't read. So I want to watch that clip 1,000 times. And I'm just like, it is so true. But it's so sad. It's like the teachers are like, I can't believe this. Only 3 of you read my syllabus. So either it was a very long syllabus or students just don't read these days. So anyway, we thought today's discussion, we'd talk about recovery. This has come up with a few of my clients recently, and we're not talking about recovery during your workout, during the session. We've talked about that before, like how long you need to rest between sets and why it's important. This is recovery on the days that you're not training, right? On your off days. And I thought that Rebecca and I would kind of go into a little bit more detail about what does it mean to recover? And what are your off days? What should your off days consist of? And, you know, what is recovery and what is not recovery?
Additional considerations. Around
exactly. That. Exactly.
Well, because I think also like if you're doing the program, mm-hmm. right, and you're doing your NLP, mm-hmm. you're going to have your lift days and your recovery days. You're not going to do anything.
Right.
But a lot of times the people that come to Starting Strength as a secondary decision, it's not their prime sport. It's not their prime interest. They're, you know, maybe a little bit older and their main love is cycling or running, mm-hmm. or they have some other physical activity that they prioritize. And so that's what they're used to doing. That's what they're imagining in their mind that they're going to be doing on their off days.
Right.
So like, how do you fit that in? Does that count as a recovery day? You know, just like all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's tricky because you have to, you know, you don't want to tell the person, you don't want to say, no, you can't run, no, you can't bike, especially if you're, you know, if you're talking with, discussing some, training with someone who does marathons or someone who does races, you know, someone maybe very serious about it or someone who just does it recreationally and they really enjoy it. And there's always that question that has to come up of, well, when can I run? When should I run? When should I bike?
And if you're doing the program, it's really clear cut and easy. You're not going to do that until you're finished with your NLP. Like right now, you're going to build as much strength as possible, as quickly as possible. And that's the goal. That's the goal of the program.
Right.
But when you're working with people in the real world, sometimes they have other goals. And if you're not going to recognize the importance of their goal to them, they're going to go someplace else.
Right. And you don't, athlete, like if that's a true marathoner who is very serious about their races, they're probably off seasons, right? They're going to have off seasons where they can train, and there's probably still going to do some running, but they'll definitely pare down their running, right? They won't run as much as often because their goal is I'm going to build some strength now. And then once the season begins, now I'm going to pull back on my strength training and focus on my running. And that's between the coach and the person and the lifter. But people who come to us are general population, and some just like to run because they enjoy it. And it's something fun for them to do, or maybe they're training for a 5K, you know, a friend of theirs is running. So when should they run? It depends on their training schedule, right? I mean, it depends on how often they're going to come to the gym and train, when they're going to train, morning or evening. And how often they want to run. Most people are going to probably run twice a week, right? Maybe some more serious runners who are not marathon runners, but do races might have a long run day and a shorter run day. So what do you tell your clients? I know we discussed this earlier, but what do you tell your clients? Do you want me to tell you what I give my, the, you know, the conversation I had with my clients? Yeah. So the clients who come to me and the ones who enjoy running always ask me, well, when should I run? Well, if they're running twice a week and they're doing a long run, I just encourage them to try to do the long one run on the weekends, right? So if they're doing like a Monday, Wednesday train session or a Tuesday, Thursday train session, Saturday would be a great day for them to do their long run. It gives them a day in between their train session, right? Have Friday off, run on sunset on Saturday, Sunday they're off. And then maybe they're back in the gym on Monday, or they're doing something on Monday and then they're back on Tuesday. Should be plenty of time to, you know, to do that long run and recover from it. If they want to run during the week, I just tell them to try to make it a shorter run and to definitely do their training after they're running after their training session. So if they're training in the morning, they can run in the afternoon or the evening, or they can run the next day, but be mindful of when they're going to train on Thursday, let's say. So if they went run on Wednesday and they're going to train Thursday evening, probably Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon would be a good idea, right? Because then they'll have all of the evening to recover, all of Thursday morning and afternoon, and then they'll probably be fresh for their Thursday training session. But if they're going to do upper body day, let's say they train upper body day on Wednesday, they could do a run on Tuesday and they could make it any time during the day, right? So really it's a conversation that has to happen when they are on the program and they've got a program set. And then the changes have to be made perhaps as the program continues, right? Maybe you set the running schedule, at one point, and then as they're continuing to train with you, you might have to move some things around because now it's starting to interfere where they're running and when they're training. But that's typically that's a very kind of general overview of what the direction I give people when they come to me and they want to run, or I'd say even bike too, right? Bike, swimming, not so much. They have to think more about their upper body with their yeah. swimming. And I have had issues where people have done a little off. They've done swimming, but they've done something different than they usually do. And the next day it does interfere with their training because it was something different.
Yeah, well, or swimming or kayaking.
Yeah,
or
something that, yes, exactly.
Like that, where you're using a lot of upper body.
Yeah, so that's general overview for me. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, just as the lifter, just being upfront with your coach about what additional stuff
right.
you're doing. And it's going to change, you
yes.
know. So if you're working with somebody who's on an LP, right? An NLP, they're going to be squat, upper body, deadlift
right.
every training session. Mm-hmm. So you have maybe a little bit less flexibility.
Sure.
And if it's somebody who does 2-3 runs or rides or whatever a
right.
week, you know, that's somebody who maybe is only going to come into the gym and lift twice a week,
right?
Three times.
Exactly.
Right. So you've got to kind of think about a lot of different variables, including which of those activities is the individual's higher priority. And that priority might change seasonally, depending on whether you're in season or out of season. It's going to depend on where they are in terms of their lifting. If they're still on an LP, then there's going to be maybe a little less variability in terms of what's required of them every time they come into the mm-hmm. gym to lift.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working with an intermediate lifter, maybe they've got 3 lifts a week, and the middle week, the Wednesday lift is a light legs day. So maybe you have a little more flexibility before that lift or after that lift for a little longer or a little bit more intense ride or run. Or, you know, maybe you've got somebody who's on a 4-day split, or somebody, you know, like you're talking about your distance runner who has an upper body day in mm-hmm. the middle of the week. And so, you know, if you're talking about somebody with intermediate lifting programming, that, you know, there's going to be more variability.
Right.
So, you know, just kind of thinking all that through ahead of time and planning it out. And then, you know, in terms of priority, in terms of where you are in your lift cycle, where you are in your sports season. And then also, like you're talking about, time of day. Mm-hmm. So you don't, if you're going to do a lift in the afternoon, you don't want to go out for a long run that morning.
Right.
You probably don't even want to go out for a short run that morning.
No.
Especially if it's like a heavy squat or a heavy deadlift day.
Yeah.
So, but if it's here, yeah. So
yeah.
all of those considerations, and they're going to fluctuate. But really the test is how does it shake out for that particular runner?
Exactly.
Like everybody's body is going to process these things a little bit differently. If you're going in for your lift session and you're missing reps that you normally would have gotten, there's a helpful bit of information.
Yep.
If you're going out for your ride or your run and your legs feel like lead,
yep.
you've got tree trunk legs, it's hard to bend your knees coming down the stairs because your quads are screaming at you. There's some helpful information also.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, you know, make appropriate changes based on that feedback.
Yeah. You don't want to, I had a client years ago, who new client, she's coming in for her, you know, her on kind of onboarding sessions. And it was like the second, third session. And she came in and she couldn't squat. And she was working with, I think she was working with Jay. And we're watching her like, you know, what's wrong? And she's like, oh, well, you know, this and this. And it came out that she ran there. So she ran the gym. Now, she didn't run like a block, you know, it wasn't like she was like late for her session. And she like sprinted from her, you know, her apartment to the gym. No, she ran 2 miles to her session. And then by the time she got there, she was toast. And it was like, we basically kind of threw our hands up. We're like, well, you can't squat. I mean, it really was one of those, like, you just, you're not going to get anything from this, well, from the squat session. So let's move on to the upper body lift because we're not going to do, we can't do anything. You've already expended all your energy in your lower body. So we're done here. And it was like, don't do that again.
Your work here is done.
Your work here is done.
This also, like, I mean, because over at the commercial gym, right? Like I was just saying, there's a fair number of people there who, you know, they're not concerned about building strength.
Right.
And I was talking to another trainer over there one day, a couple of years ago, and it was a hot summer day. And she was trying to do some, you know, some lifts, some barbell stuff, whatever. And she said to me something like, well, she had to run that morning already because it was going to be really hot. And then I was like, my head was exploding. I was like, why are you going to go outside and run before you come into the gym and squat or whatever even else she was doing, lunges, whatever. But then I sort of took a step back from my initial reaction and realized like she was really in there for like the hypertrophy training. She was in there for bodybuilding. She didn't care about the strength training.
Yeah.
She cared about, she needed to do her cardio. She needed to, you know, do whatever. And then this was all just extra.
Yeah. So for someone like that, that's, you know, they're not, they might feel it. They might feel it in their legs, but they're going to think, well, it's, my legs are burning. You know, I'm doing something with, for my legs. So it's all good. But people who are focused on strength training and want to get their squat up and want to get stronger in their deadlift, they do have to take into consideration anything they do outside of the gym. And they can understand biking and swimming and running and how we have to kind of balance that. But there are other activities that we don't think about that we do in our general daily living that we don't realize can contribute to our recovery or not recovering. Right. So that's something that just came up recently with one of my clients, one of my online clients. And she has been cleaning out her basement to make room for her gym, right? So she's got a gym downstairs in her basement now, but the basement hasn't been cleaned out in years, right? There's tons and tons of boxes all over the place. So she and her husband have been cleaning and like, they're in a frenzy about it, right? Like they're really going hard. They're going hard and it's great. So it's great. And the fact is like, she is going up and down these stairs that were very nerve-wracking for her a year ago. And now she takes them more easily, right? Because we've been training for a year and she's in her 80s. And so she's doing a lot more. So she called me one day, it was a Friday, we're supposed to train Friday. And I do this online with her via FaceTime. Emily, we're moving really well with the cleaning. I want to pound through this. Can I put my training off till tomorrow? I said, that's fine. Okay. No problem. I didn't know how long she was actually going to be going for on Friday. So the next day, Saturday comes and she's exhausted and nothing's working, right? She's got no legs, like she's tired. And so we had to talk about what recovery means. And I was like, how long were you cleaning that basement? Oh, she goes, well, we were probably 4 or 5 hours of like, you know, picking boxes up and carrying things up. I said, you didn't think that was going to interfere with your training the next day? And maybe a younger person, it would not have mattered that much, right? But for an older person who hasn't done a lot in almost she's been doing a lot for a year now, but prior to that, hadn't been doing anything.
Like fairly sedentary.
It took a toll. It took a real toll. And it's like the flip side, right? The catch is I can do more because I'm stronger. I've gotten stronger and I can do more. So I do more, but then I do all this work and then I can't do the other thing. Right. So there's almost like, it's like kind of like that, wow, I can do so much and I feel so good. So I want to keep going because I haven't had this kind of energy in years, but now I'm exhausted and I can't function well in my actual training day, you know, my actual training day, but I was able to, because of my training day, I can do all those things, right? So we had to have the talk about, okay, what does recovery mean? You know, what am I doing the day before a training session that we're not just kind of like, you know, spinning our wheels here. We're having a good time, but we're seriously working. And for an 80 plus year old, woman, this is it's a lot. A half an hour is a lot of work. So we talked about the fact that, there was all that cleaning, all the up and down the stairs, carrying boxes. That was actually a workout. Did you eat anything? No, I didn't eat anything. Okay. There's that too. I didn't have any breakfast. I don't have an appetite. Well, there's that too. We need to have some energy before we come in for a session. So things that we don't necessarily think about because we hadn't thought about it before because we weren't training and we weren't strong enough to think about that. But now we have all this energy, but we don't know how to harness it properly. We don't know how to like understand that what recovery means and what eating does for us, because, while we're trying to lose weight, I don't want to eat too much kind of thing. So there's that. And I tell you, after that talk, I said, we're going to train on Tuesday. I don't want you to do any cleaning in the basement on Monday. You can walk, you can do whatever you want, but no cleaning, right? And try to eat like a banana or something before Tuesday. Tuesday came and it was like a 360. And she said, I didn't do any cleaning yesterday. And I ate before my session with you. And it was night and day. So now there's this mentality of like, okay, the day before a session, I have a session on Tuesdays and Fridays with Emily. I can work in the basement on Wednesday. I can work in the basement on Sunday. I can work in the basement on Saturday, the day after my session. But I have to be mindful to not work in the basement Tuesday morning or Monday or Thursday before Friday. And it was like this real shift. And I said to her, I was like, you're training, like this is a big deal. And the reason you can do all this is because you're training, but we have to find a balance now between how much activity and this other work that you're doing with me.
The other thing too, I mean, that kind of cleaning, like cleaning is sort of a squishy word,
right?
Like this be just walking around with like a dust cloth and pushing the vacuum a little bit.
Yes.
And maybe that's what you thought was happening when she said, oh, I'm really making a lot of progress here or it could just be sorting things.
Right.
But like you're actually carrying boxes.
She's
up and
purging.
Down. Like you're doing step ups, repeated step ups, like, for
picking
hours.
Things up, moving things around, going up the stairs, throwing stuff out. I mean, it's purging. We're talking about purging. Like we're talking about how many years and years and years of collecting things and collecting things and collecting things. And now we're having to make room for this little gym area. And now it's like, I've started to purge. I want to keep purging. So it's a long process.
That can be pretty sudden.
Yeah.
Like if you're purging through paperwork. So
but this is physical. This is a very physical, purging. that was a very interesting topic to a discussion to have with her because it was something that she didn't even think about. And it's good to have that talk with her made her way more aware of her what to do during the week, and then make a real plan of this is my day to clean and purge. This is my day to make sure I rest because I have a day with Emily that's going to help me give me more energy and more strength to go back to the basement. I mean, it's kind of like it's a little cycle. It's a revolving, it's a revolving door. But that's something that people don't think about. They don't think about the fact that me cleaning my basement out could actually be limiting my recovery.
It depends how you frame the activity for yourself, how you define it for yourself. And cleaning, if it's typically something that's a lot lower intensity,
right,
you might not consider that it would have an impact on your workout. Or if it's something that you used to do pretty easily, but you're comparing your current self to yourself 20 years previous,
right.
That's something else to think about, but like how you frame the activity in your own mind and what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
There'd be a huge disparity between the two. So, cause I had a situation this week also with one of my online clients, and around recovery. Because it was a lifter who was doing two lifts per week and wanted to also be doing some, as somebody who's more interested, I think, mostly in cycling. Mm-hmm. And it's the winter season, so not as much cycling happening at this point, but still wanted to be able to go into the gym and do some cardio on some other days. So I sort of had some parameters set up in terms of heart rate, in terms of, you know, intensity, length of time that I thought that they, you know, that the individual was going to be right. doing cardio on those days. And the squat on the lift days was really not making a lot of progress. Deadlift also not making mm-hmm. as much progress as you might expect, better than the squat, but the squat was really sticking. And that was a whole other conversation, a whole other situation. And so in a conversation yesterday, I said, well, tell me what you do when you go into the gym on these other days. Because, you know, it was just sort of in the notes right. on True Code, just sort of what the cardio stuff right. was. He said, oh, I'm also doing my PT exercises. Well, what does that mean? What are your PT exercises? So there's some for shoulder, some for knee, and the shoulder, you know, like they always have you do that internal external mm-hmm. rotation mm-hmm. with the, you know, so 2.5 pounds on that, not too concerned about it.
Right.
But then he starts explaining all these other exercises that he's doing, including a series of lunges with 35 pound dumbbells, single leg squats with enough weight that it constituted about 3/4 the amount of what he was trying to squat. And I was like, okay, so here's the problem. What you're perceiving as PT exercises, actually, in comparison to what you're doing for your actual lifts, is like you've just added 2 extra lifts in.
Yeah.
And they're interfering. You're doing too much. And if you want to do those PT exercises, that's fine. But that's a third lift day, and we need to space everything else out accordingly so that you have enough time between your actual lifts and what you're terming as just PT mm-hmm. and blowing off mm-hmm. because it's actually really impacting your ability to squat under the bar.
What did he say when you told him that?
It was a huge, huge aha moment.
It wasn't. Okay. It wasn't like, yeah. it wasn't
and kind of explaining the difference between like what you're doing, that sort of mobility drills or things with 2.5 pound dumbbells,
yeah.
not equivalent to what you're doing with, you know, 60 pounds
yeah.
or what you're doing yeah. with the 35 pound dumbbells. That's not the same. it was because the point of doing those exercises in his mind, like those were things that he had learned from,
right.
from PT sessions. And the point was strengthen the troublesome joints, right? Strengthen around the places that had been injured. Same reason why a lot of people get into barbell training.
Right, right.
Make everything stronger, make the joints less painful because they've got more support around them. Same idea, but it was spaced in such a way throughout the week that it was really competing with
yes.
his ability to recover and then do the squats.
So it's amazing that it must have been that his physical therapy exercises over time, he's just added weight to them.
Yeah.
He's added weight to them, not even realizing that what he was doing was actually progressing, you know, overloading his, you know, his single mm-hmm. leg work, but that he was now no longer doing physical therapy, but rather he was actually doing resistance training. Like it got to a point where it wasn't just to keep the body mobile, you know, like, you know, using a mini band or using a, you know, a 5 pound dumbbell to do your, you know, shoulder exercises. Once you start getting into like, you know, 35 pounds for your lunges, I mean, it's now you're training, but
yeah.
but there's still that mentality of, well, it's a PT exercise. So that it really doesn't count as yeah. part of my strength training.
And I mean, a lot of I don't know, seems to me a lot of movements that people do, we progress or regress them to an appropriate point for where a person mm-hmm. currently is. If a person is post-surgery, there's only so many ways you can move your body.
Right.
You're going to move it in very similar ways, but you're going to reduce the range of motion. You're going to reduce the load. You're maybe going to modify
right.
some other variables. And as the person gets stronger, you progress those things, and then you progress them to the point where you're adding weight, and then you start progressing the weight.
Yeah.
You're always progressively overloading. And then, yeah, that line between what is PT and what is training?
Well, physical therapy should be, it is a gateway, right? It's kind of like, yeah, it's your way of kind of introducing someone to strength training, right? It's resistance work. It's usually very light. It sometimes starts with just body weight and bands and then progresses to maybe dumbbells. And then eventually the PT says, okay, you know what? We're done with your physical therapy. You're moving great now. Now we just need to get you stronger. We need to continue this, but now we have to really load you. Those exercises that he's doing, if he had told you that he was doing those, you could have easily, program them into his training day or to the next day as good assistance exercises. I mean, I do single leg deadlifts and I do leg presses, but I have those, those are programmed in such a way that they're, the single leg work, they become assistance exercises to kind of my main, my main lift. And I can do those in the same day, but they have to come after, after, not the day before, and you're training hot heavy, and then you're going to try to train heavy again. But it is, I think it was that mindset of I'm doing my PT work and then tomorrow I'm strength training, not realizing that weight has crept up, and now it's no longer just physiotherapy.
The whole idea of how you characterize what you're doing for yourself, that can make a huge difference. Cause I've been there too. Like where I, when I was first starting to train, on a Friday or a Saturday or something, I don't even remember, over the weekend, like I went on a Girl Scout trip. Right. And so there was some kayaking, canoeing, that sort of stuff. And I had couple Girl Scouts in the canoe who are not doing their fair share of paddling. So basically I'm single person paddling five people. And then, I came in to train and like my bench wasn't moving. It was going down. I needed help, spotter.
Right.
And it was a weight I should have been able to get. And it was because in my mind, it was like, I wasn't doing any heavy duty work the day before. I was just on a Girl Scout trip.
Right.
With my kids.
Oh yeah.
I was hanging out with my kids.
It's completely a different way of approaching what you're doing physically. Right. I had a client who swims a couple times a week, just real easy swimming, right? Just for the shoulders, mobility, just because it feels really good on the shoulders and the knees. And typically swims on a Tuesday and lifts on a Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and does upper body work on that day first. I think it was a press at the time. Yes, there was a press. Came in, and this is somebody in their 60s, came in and the press was just all out of sorts. She was all out of sorts and she couldn't understand why the weight wasn't moving up. And I was kind of like, why is the weight moving as well as it did last week? Like, you did great last week. Well, come to find out that the day before she'd gone to the pool, but it wasn't just her regular easy swimming, just breaststroke. It was a class. It was a full on, 45 minute hour long class on strokes. So you can think of how many times did she probably arms this way? No, do it this way, over and over again. So it's not just I'm swimming, but I'm actually practicing how I'm doing it. So I'm going over and over and over again, the same movement. She just basically, her upper body got a huge workout in the pool with that, came in the next day and had nothing left. Needed another day to recover. So if we had pressed maybe on Thursday, probably would have gone a lot better. But from Tuesday to Wednesday, did not have enough recovery time for her upper body, came in and she was completely spent. So that revelation of I took a class, I said, but you took a class. You did something different than your normal routine. And the body will immediately respond to that. Immediately. This is not a lift. This is not a lifting issue. It was I couldn't hold a glass issue. A couple weeks ago, I was teaching one of my clients, his niece came in. She was 8. He wanted me to help her with her crocheting. So I had to relearn how to crochet, right? Cause I'm a big knitter. So I'm working with this little hook, right? And I'm practicing it. So I come in and we sit for about 20 minutes and I'm showing her how to use the hook to guide the yarn through the hole, right? And I'm showing her and I'm going over and over again with my finger. So I'm basically my thumb and my first finger are squeezing together and I'm rotating. Wouldn't you know that by the afternoon, my wrist was killing me? to a point where then I couldn't hold a glass in my right hand.
Oh.
All day Saturday.
Crocheting was so dangerous.
All day Saturday, all day Sunday. Monday, I talked to my client who also crochets, and she goes, oh yeah, tendinosis. I was like, what? It was like, I had 20 minutes of me. She goes, yeah, you need to wear a splint and go to sleep. And I'm like, are you kidding me? By Wednesday, it was fine. By Wednesday, was the pain was gone. But I literally could not hold a glass. I had to wrap my wrist to press. I was like, this has got to be from crocheting. And sure enough, it was. It was exactly from crocheting. It was something that my wrist had not been used to doing. And so just that little bit of constant overuse gave me immediate tendinosis in my wrist. Who'd have thought that crocheting and knitting could be so dangerous on the body? You know, I mean, that's why I say my knitting and my crocheting injury. But we don't think about those things. I didn't think about that. Why would I think about that? But guess what? It interfered with my pressing the next day. There I am wrapping my wrist thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this. It was just from crocheting. This is really sad. But, you know, I learned my lesson. But I was also aware of what had happened because there's nothing I did except crochet. I crocheted. I haven't crocheted like that since, you know, what? 2000.
Well, not the day before your press.
And not the day before my press too. Right. So it's things but we don't think about that. We don't think about that, but we should. And I tell you, after that, she thought about that right away. She didn't do another swimming class the day before an upper body day again. I have to be mindful about my crocheting if I'm going to crochet again before I press. What are some other daily activities or weekend activities that people do throughout the year, seasonal activities that people should be aware of? Because again, that will interfere with our training and could put our bodies in a situation that won't allow us to, you know, to move as well, you know, that next day. So you talked about cleaning, obviously, like, but not just cleaning, like purging, like really moving things around, moving probably like a moving day, like when you're moving, absolutely for sure.
Any outdoor cleanup too. So like outdoor cleanup that could include like gardening.
Exactly.
Basically you're gardening and you're pulling weeds. It's sort of like a similar to a deadlift.
Your low back is getting strained. Yeah. Yes.
Low back, hamstrings. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, especially if they're like really stubborn weeds. So gardening in the winter, you know, shoveling
snow,
any of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like I did, you know, after that, whatever that most recent day long snowstorm or whatever that we had, one of my online clients in his comments was like, I have shovel legs today. Like sometimes with that, you don't so much have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you need to shovel to get out the day before and you have your training session, but like to recognize that that is going to have an impact. And yeah, sure enough, he did. And he put that in his comments.
Yeah.
You know, but any sort of outdoor stuff like that, depending on the size of your property and the equipment that you have, like if you've got a ride-on mower versus a push mower, mm-hmm. and if you're using your push mower and your property happens to be really hilly, you know, that can have an impact. Or, you know, chopping wood. I've got a client with a large piece of property and, you know, during lunch break, because he works from home.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. lunch break, a lot of times he'll go out and chop wood.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great. That's great movement, physical activity. It's necessary. It's something that he has to do. But then, you know, that sometimes will have an impact on lifts the next day. And, you know, he's been at it for long enough that he knows that that's a factor and sort of times as much as he's possibly capable of times when he's going to do the wood chopping.
I think it's the, it's definitely the awareness, like you said, knowing that your client is aware that if he's out there chopping wood, he needs to maybe modify something, or shoveling snow, modify something in his training the next day, because some people aren't aware of that. They'll go out, they'll shovel, they'll rake leaves for hours on end or bag leaves, and they're outside for 3 or 4 hours. And they have to do the yard work, but then the next day they go to their training session and then it's like, oh, it's a mess. I couldn't do anything. I had no this. And then it comes to find out that they had spent the, you know, 4 hours the day before doing all this additional work and their body was just not recovered from it. So my clients typically will be able to make that adjustment. So like say they took the weight down, or they didn't do as many reps, or they decided that, you know, they weren't going to push it because their legs felt like jello. And it's like, good. Okay. Glad you modified things. I never mind when, if a client were to say, look, the day before, you know, I did a lot of work, I'm going to go into the session, or can you modify the session for me? Or is it okay if I modify it? Of course, nothing's ever set in stone, especially when you have to get some work done. And this is the only day that you can do it, the only day that you can rake your leaves, right? Or bag the leaves. But being aware that the next day you may not feel 100%, and that's okay. I think it's, you know, when people get frustrated because something's not going well, it's like, no, it's going fine. You're just not recovered. It's not you. It's not what's, you know, it's just that this happened the day before. So we need to, obviously you needed more time to recover. You weren't really, your body wasn't well enough to all of a sudden squat this heavy, heavy weight. That's okay. Next weekend, when you have a little bit more rest, we'll try it again. Because the fact is, you're able to be outside for 4 hours doing all that. So a day where you're going a little bit lighter is not going to be the end of the world. Like it's that catch-22 of like, I can do so much because of my training, but then my training will be impacted by how much I can do. Chopping wood is another good example of being mindful of how much what you're doing, because it's great that you can do it because of your training, but whatever you do, I always tell people, whatever you do outside the gym will impact your training. Whatever you do inside the gym will complement what you do outside the gym, right? It will add to it. It will make you a better runner, better biker. You'll be able to shovel snow longer, you know, be outside gardening better. You know, your back won't
Olympic
hurt you.
Olympic level.
You won't be, your back won't hurt as much when you garden, because you'll be able to, you know, you're holding yourself in a different way. So anything you do outside the gym will, the strength training will impact it in a positive way. But anything you do outside of the gym will impact in a negative way your training. Right.
Yeah.
So it's learning how to find that balance. And at times I forget that. And I go and I crochet, help an 8-year-old crochet. And then I, you know, have to wear a wrist wrap the next day when I'm pressing. It was a good conversation. It got me thinking a lot about when we talk about recovery, it's not just, you know, not running on that day or not biking, but it's other activities that we don't think about, because they're activities that we just do in our daily life and we have to do. And sometimes it's all we have is the weekend to do it. So we put all of our time into it.
And I think, you know, that's one of the things that I also really like with like just a training log, right?
Yes.
Cause you can make those notes, because it's important to recognize what you're doing and how it affects you.
Yes.
Right. And how it affects you at this point in your life. So if you've been training for a number of years, you're also aging over those number of years.
That's right.
And so something that you may have been able to do without it impacting your work in the gym a decade ago might have a different effect on you now. And that's just normal, natural. People age and go through different phases, even, you know, if they're relatively young, just depending on, it can just affect them differently. So keeping track of all of that, and keeping track of that as true for you, as opposed to true for you now, not just true for you the way you remember yourself being 20 years ago, and also not based on what you perceive that other people might be doing based on, I mean, you hear all the time about social media or in fitness magazines, people doing twice a day workouts or that sort of thing. And so in the back of people's minds, I think sometimes they're working against this notion that this should be no problem. There's plenty of people who do twice a day workouts. So this shouldn't be a problem for me. But yeah, everybody is affected differently by...
Yeah. And those people who are doing twice a day workouts, those are professional athletes typically who don't have anything else but be in the gym to train, because their sport is their work. And that's why whenever I've done that, whenever I've had to like squat in the morning and deadlift in the afternoon, I'm like, look at me, I'm training twice a day. I'm like a professional athlete, you know, and it, sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes, well, usually it's just like one lift. It's not a whole, it's not two whole sessions. It's not like I'm training for an hour and a half in the morning and then I'm going to train for another hour and a half in the afternoon. Like that's just that's unreasonable, and you know, for me, yeah. But for somebody whose job it is to just train, you know, it's not unreasonable.
Encouraging that to a certain extent for my kid playing soccer mm-hmm. at college. This is Division III.
Sure. Right?
They'll have their lifts, and the lifts are all set and scheduled during the off season based on when there is coach and gym availability. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily based on what is an optimal lift.
Sure.
Schedule.
Sure.
And it's not the kind of strength training lifting that we're necessarily used to either. But then there's also the fitness or the cardio component of what they're doing. And so they're actually encouraged to do these additional runs, which often are in the afternoon. So like lift in the morning, run in the afternoon.
Right.
Not advisable really.
No. Well, for like a young person, they can probably get away with it. But for someone who's, you know, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and not as advisable because it will impact. Yeah. I had a client,
if that's the sort of thing that was part of your experience when you were in college,
totally different.
You know, that's another situation, right? Oh. Like it's not just professional athletes.
Yeah.
Sometimes like regular people.
Yeah.
Get that reinforced that twice a day is desirable to two workouts.
I just remember as I was getting older with my dancing that I would I had to warm up a lot longer than I used to when I was, you know, younger. Like my warm-ups, I could do a couple things and I'd fly up onto the stage. No, not so much after, like when you get into like, you know, closer to 40, all of a sudden you're like warming up for like an hour. Like everything's got to warm up before you can get on that stage and move. So things take a little bit longer to prepare themselves. But I think it comes down to just finding that balance. Rebecca's trying not to get the dog on the tape. Trying to find that balance between training and your your movement in your daily living, because you can do more, but you have to be mindful of how much you're doing, especially if you want to continue to make progress in the gym. And it's pretty much that simple, but we have to just plan a little bit better and think more about our schedules. I have plenty of people who sometimes have to do back-to-back training days. And if they're training and let's say they're squatting, deadlifting, and benching on one day, and they have to come in the next day, well, they're just not going to do, you know, they're not going to repeat the squat again. They may not even deadlift again. So if they're squatting, deadlifting, and benching one day and they have to come in the next day, they might bench again. Maybe it's a lighter bench and they can press. They can certainly press. You can certainly do an upper body lift after an upper body day. But to have them try to deadlift and squat again after a deadlift and squat day, not a good idea. Unless they're really, 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 really beginner and the weight's really super light, you might be able to get away with that. Certainly. Absolutely. But not if it's more of a, you know, an intermediate lifter or somebody who's been training for a long time. It's just better to modify the program and take away those lower body exercises, because your body does need that time to, you know, to recover between lifts. So, yeah. How's the dog?
Losing her mind. Like the UPS truck came to our house.
I see.
And I had to mute it. And now the UPS truck is next door and she's just barely holding her shit together.
It's so exciting when the UPS truck comes to the house.
Yeah, no, like so exciting that she barks and then like her front paws come up off the ground. She's barking so
hard.
She's
waiting for a delivery for her. You know, why want to deliver? I got a video from my client who I sent 2.5 pound plates to her house, and she sent me a video with the box. I'm so excited. I can't wait to open this. Everyone's excited. It's like Christmas when you get a box delivered. So yeah, that's what I have. Those are my thoughts on recovery, on what you need to think about.
Pretty much covers it on my end.
Yeah.
I mean, like what we've talked about is like recovery in terms of timing.
Yes.
For additional activities and how to characterize or classify those additional activities.
Yep. Yep.
And I mean, that's a fairly good conversation. It's lengthy enough. There are a whole lot of other aspects of recovery that we could dive into, but you know, in light of the fact that we dove too deep into our topic last week,
That's okay.
You know, and let me go so I can see what the UPS guy brought.
Yeah. So recovery, think about it, think about what you're doing on your days off, be mindful. And, you know, if the goal is to get stronger and to add weight to the bar, you have to think about what you're doing when you're not in the gym. I know it's hard. I know we always want to be in the gym all the time, every time. I know Manny does. That man lives for the gym, as he should.
Yeah.
As he should.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So we could all
just are taking their medicine.
some are doing that, and some just can't wait to be there. They're banging the door down. When are you going to open? When are you going to open? So that wraps up our discussion on recovery. If you've got questions or comments about our podcast today, you can always reach out to us and email me at emily@5by3.com, or you can reach out to Rebecca at
cornerstonestrengthmaryland@gmail.com.
We thank you for spending some time with us today. Don't forget, the registration is open for the Charm City Strong Win Contest, and we will start our fundraising campaign in about another 2 months. So keep us in mind when we start our fundraiser. It is for the Allman House, and this is our 13th year. So it's been an amazing journey so far, and we can't wait for this year's contest. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll be back soon. We'll see you again. Thank you. Thanks, Rebecca.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to 5x3 Radio with Emily and Rebecca. If you like our show and want to know more about 5x3 training, please visit us at www.5, that's F-I-V-E, the letter X, the number 3.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. To learn more about Rebecca, please visit her website, cornerstonestrengthmaryland.com. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.